Well, look at, there's even a camera from the Bismarck Tribune.
Oh.
This would be a great photo for the front cover of the Tribune.
Chums, Rami. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the regularly scheduled Public Service Commission meeting, an hour earlier than normal. We're here today having a little bit of fun on the front end. A couple weeks ago, before the UND-NDSU return of the rivalry football game, we made a little bet here. I'm being the UND graduate and surrounded by Bison fans. And, of course, I had to stand by my team, even though I knew it was kind of a long shot, but being a loyal Fighting Sioux diehard, or UND, whatever they're going to be called in the future, I stood by them and lost the bet. And as a result, I am stuck in a lovely Bison attire today. I'm not sure how long I'll be donning it, but at least through the meeting, and Tom, so you can get the full effect. I do have some lovely hose here.
Socks included.
Pippi Longstocking socks. So, but I do have to remind everybody that while they have played 110 times, UND has been victorious 64 of those times, and NDSU a mere 44. So, you guys have a long ways to go, 20 more years. And at the pace that they're playing every 4 years, it's going to take a while. I don't know that we'll still be alive to see them overcome that. And I think UND is on the upward trend now, and they're going to be coming back strong. So I do hope that the schools will return to annual games. I think it's just such a fun rivalry and a good thing for the state. It really keeps us engaged in who we are and what we're all about, and I think it's a really healthy, positive thing to have, and I hope that it generates so much enthusiasm and excitement and betting and all kinds of other things, and so I hope that the schools work hard to return to annual games. It would be good for all of us, plus it would give me a chance to redeem myself sooner. So with that, I don't have any other huge opening comments. We did have a meeting yesterday with PHMSA officials from their central region, and that the purpose of that meeting was really just to get a sense of where they're going and what they're doing long term, and their involvement in the state and some of those sorts of things. And they provide a lot of good information about how they prioritize and their work and what they might be able to do longer term on some of these issues and incidences that have occurred. So it was a really good discussion. Some things remain frustrating about PHMSA, and that is their training program is not nearly adequate to meet the training needs that exist in the country for pipeline safety inspectors. They have a very small training facility and program that every single inspector in the nation needs to go through to be certified to inspect, and we're having that same issue in our state, getting our inspectors, which the legislature gave us, trained and ready to go. So we'll be continuing to put the pressure on PHMSA through whatever channels we can, NARUC, through our own efforts, and working with our congressional delegation to try to get them to beef up that training program so that North Dakota and all states can get the inspectors that we need to maintain the integrity and the safety and the public confidence in the pipeline system that is vital to our energy reliability and independence long term. So that kind of summarizes PHMSA, and I don't have any other opening comments. So, Commissioner Chris Minn.
I'm going to go back to that football business.
And I just want to make one point, and I'm actually going to use a baseball metaphor to make it. You know, at the end of a baseball game, if the team that came out on the losing side is pointing out that, you know, we scored in more innings than the victors, or we had more hits than the victors, we'd look at that as a pretty shallow argument. In this football rivalry, it's not about wins 50 or 75 or 100 years ago. It's about national championships. That's
well,
all I have to say on that.
You might have a point on that, but we aren't talking about football. We aren't talking about touchdowns. We are actually talking about wins in the game.
We're talking about national championships. The other serious point I wanted to make, when it comes to our inspectors here, I thought about this yesterday. A lot of the discussion had to do with whether they're trained or not. I think the two pipeline inspectors we have are very well trained, very capable, and as far as protecting the safety of North Dakota, both its natural resources and its people, from what we're able to do as a commission with our inspectors, I think they're very well trained and very capable. The only distinction is they're not certified. And so I guess I don't want the public to have the impression that our inspectors are unable to do their jobs. They are just not certified to take responsibility for all the things that they would be able to if PHMSA made the courses available in a timely manner. So I wanted to point that out, that our guys are excellent pipeline inspectors.
That's a very good point, and a good thing to reinforce, that they are out there doing their jobs. We could maximize them a little more fully if they were able to complete the inspection program and take care of that as well, but we're doing as much as we possibly can with them, and they're working on behalf of the citizens every day. So, all right.
Thank you, ma'am. I just following Randy's comments about the pipeline inspectors. The part of the challenge is when it's a bidding war out there for the pipeline inspectors. So once they get trained up, then they go to the highest bidder, which usually is a company. So then you get this vacuum behind you to train them. So that's, I would agree with you on that. And I appreciate Commissioner Fedorchuk for honoring your portion of the bet. You look quite bisonish today.
So feeling a little itchy, but...
And I will say that the University of North Dakota is my second favorite football team, Division I in North Dakota. And I predict that UND will make the playoffs this year. They're 3-1. They're looking good. And the Bison should make the playoffs. So they may play again this year in the playoffs.
Now, wouldn't that be fun?
Because the teams that make the playoffs, they go regional setups. So it's been us against South Dakota State. So if both teams have that record, they both could end up in the playoffs. So with that, my final thought would be simply this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, you're welcome. I do also owe everybody pizza. And so we'll be setting up we couldn't do it today because we have a Lignite Energy Council luncheon that we all, the three of us will be at. But I will set a date in the calendar for a Bison Sioux Day. And everybody is encouraged to wear their favorite apparel, and I'll provide pizza for staff. So we'll get that on the calendar in short order.
I think staff is supportive of a game every year as well. Somebody's going to win.
And then we'll see who wins in the hockey rivalry. Oh, dang it. That's right.
We have a club team.
Okay. We have a number of items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to further discussion.
Just add one comment to consent BK2. It's ironically, the 2016 federal state pipeline safety grants. It's we get reimbursement of, in this case, $393,000 from the federal government for running the joint pipeline safety program. Sometimes that shows up on regular agenda. This time I put it on consent, but I thought it was timely discussion since we're talking about that today.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. JF1 was just a contractual matter that we moved to consent. So JF2 is going to be my first motion. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Bridger Pipeline LLC 16-inch crude oil pipeline Billings and Stark siting application case number PU-15-97.
Second.
On February 17th, Bridger Pipeline filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit concerning approximately 15 miles of 16-inch diameter crude oil pipeline known as the Heart River Pipeline in Billings and Stark Counties, North Dakota. On April 29th, the Commission found this application complete and we set a hearing schedule for July 9th at 10 a.m. in Belfield, and that hearing was held as scheduled on July 9th in Belfield. This project will originate at Bridger's Skunk Hill Station and terminate at Bridger's Freiburg Station and will parallel an existing 8-inch crude oil pipeline also owned by Bridger. The maximum capacity of the project will be 125,000 barrels per day. And the total anticipated cost is about $10.4 million. Bridger testified there's a need for the project in order to alleviate a bottleneck in the capacity of the overall Four Bears pipeline system, which serves the Midwest United States. Bridger also testified that benefits of the project include reducing the pressure and eliminating the need for drag-reducing additives in Bridger's adjacent 8-inch pipeline. The following agencies were contacted by Bridger: the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, United States Forest Service, the Game and Fish Department, North Dakota Parks and Rec, State Water Commission, and the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. In a response dated October 20th, 2014, the Game and Fish Department indicated that the project should not have any significant adverse effects on wildlife or wildlife habitat. The Parks and Rec Department last December indicated the project will not affect state park lands managed by the Land and Water Conservation Fund, recreation projects, or recreation projects coordinated by Parks and Rec. And they also indicated that one animal species of concern and several significant ecological projects are communities are documented within sections in and adjacent to the project. The North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office concurred with a no significant sites determination for the project. Through our hearing process and application process, the company has shown that no exclusion areas will be impacted by the project. They submit an application to the U.S. Forest Service for the portion of the route that crosses the Little Missouri National Gradlands, which is an avoidance area, to achieve the project's intent to transport crude oil between Bridger's Skunk Hills and Freiburg Stations, a line that already exists, while minimizing the environmental impact of this route by paralleling Bridger's existing 8-inch pipeline. The commission finds there's no reasonable alternative to the proposed corridor and route crossing this avoidance area. A SCADA supervisory control and data acquisition system to provide will provide continuous monitoring of pressures, temperatures, and flow rates within the pipeline, and the company testified that will be installed as part of the project. They also testified that operations will be continuously monitored by a control center located in Casper, Wyoming. Bridger has committed to X-raying 100% of all field welds. They have also committed to contacting each landowner along the project 1 year after project completion to identify and address any unresolved reclamation issues. So, in summary, this was a good, thorough hearing. We've come a long way in our hearing process and in our siting process on covering some of the key issues regarding safety and river crossings and monitoring systems and leak history and all of those issues that the companies go through with us. And we also talk to them extensively about reclamation, what their plans are, how they're going to be held accountable for that, and how they're going to work with landowners to make sure that they're satisfied in the end. And this company showed a real commitment to all of those issues. And so this project, while being a fairly small line, just 15 miles, it is a key piece of infrastructure for this system, which is an export system, and will help them increase the capacity from, I believe it was 85,000 barrels per day currently to 125,000 barrels per day of export capacity out of North Dakota. So that's a small investment for a significant return, and I think that it's prudent to support this project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Only thing that I would just want to reemphasize is that this is a significant increase in our export capacity, and I'm talking about exporting underground where it's at its safest and actually the most efficient way, and also following in an existing pipeline. And so the impact on the soil and the environment is really minimal as well. So I'm happy to support this project.
Is there any further discussion?
I was just thinking the same thing, that we see most of our pipelines in the northwestern part of the state. This is something in the southwest, and it may not be that long, but it's a huge, huge piece to this puzzle of exports, so I think it's a good project as well.
The company did testify during the hearing that this particular area is served by an 8-inch pipeline right now, and it's a bottleneck because it has a larger line going in and out of it, and so it really needed to expand this particular link in that chain of pipelines, and their plan then is to just parallel the existing 8-inch line with the 16-inch line and open up that bottleneck. So it's a fairly straightforward project with pretty significant impact.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my portfolio, so I'll pass it over to...
Did you have three?
Oh, yes, sorry. I do have three. Whoops. I was added this last morning. All right. I move the commission grant the request of Basin Electric Power Cooperative for a variance from the rail clearance standards prescribed by Section 49-10.1-13 of the North Dakota Century Code, subject to the conditions in the order in Basin Electric Power Cooperative rail clearance variance DGC UREA loading facility application case number RR-15-676.
Second.
On August 31st, the Public Service Commission received an application from Basin Electric for a variance from the rail clearance standards prescribed by Section 49-10.1-13 of the North Dakota Century Code. Basin is seeking authorization to build a loading gangway. On September 18th, the Commission notified BNSF and the United Transportation Union about the clearance variance and requested comments. On September 18th, the United Transportation Union responded, stating no objection to the application. And on September 28th, the Commission received an email from BNSF agreeing to the request, conditioned upon Basin posting specific safety signs and reflective tape. So we find that granting the application is in the public interest. Really, the two issues would be, one, a worker safety, and with the union agreeing that this isn't a problem, that helps us satisfy any concerns that might arise from that. And then BNSF providing the additional agreement that, you know, Basin should post the safety signs and reflective tape so everybody recognizes that this is a variance. It's a little shorter than the standard that is set in our regulations. And but we believe that this should work out fine after those two entities have given their approval. So I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I agree, Chairman, and this is looking forward to Basin being able to send scenery around the world, right?
And I just can't help but point out a couple things. First of all, I think outside of the ag industry, a lot of people don't know urea is a farm fertilizer. And so this is, you know, unlike some chemical components that we might have in a gas processing facility, that it's hard for people around the state to really get a grasp of the value of saving it and processing it. This is something that a lot of people all around the state and region understand and provides a great value. I also point out that just over 20 years ago, when I got into the political world, the gasification plant, I think most people did not think it would be open within a couple more years. It was that shaky of a proposition at that point in time. And somewhere, I don't remember what year, Basin Electric took over operation of that and has diversified it. I'm not even going to try and attempt to name a bunch of the things that they are able to capture out of that stream out there and stabilize the economics of that plant. But other than this urea plant, which I will tell you, the people up in that area are really gearing up for. This is going to be a big workforce, not for a month or so, but for a couple of years building this. So it'll be a big impact even before the urea hits the market. But one other thing that the Basin Electric has done over the years up there, was built the pipeline up to Canada to the oil fields, and is I think really has led the way and showed the value of not the pollutant but the resource CO2 and the enhanced oil recovery that that's provided for the Canadian oil fields, and as well as eliminating it from the emissions stream of the plant. So this is another in kind of a long line of really fantastic improvements and accomplishments that Basin Electric has had out of Dakota gasification.
Is there any further discussion?
Good thing Dale Neeswag was here to hear you say all those good things.
That is true. But I was saying them even before Dale Neeswag.
I know.
Before I got to know Dale Neeswag.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Now that concludes my portfolio, Randy. It's all yours.
Okay, I just have one agenda item today. I move the commission file the report and recommendation of trustee with Grand Forks County District Court, together with the corresponding motion and support documents in Grand Forks Bean Company Incorporated Grain Warehouse insolvency case number GE-15-36. I further move that once the report and recommendation is approved by the district court, the licensing director be authorized to pay all valid claims as soon as possible.
Second.
I'm just going to go through a few of the highlight points here, and because it's a legal matter, if there's questions, I'll probably refer them to the attorney, but I'll give you just a refresher on where we're at and how we've gotten here. All the dates I mentioned will be 2015 unless I note otherwise. So on January 16th, the commission issued an ex parte cease and desist order against Grand Forks Bean. On January 30th, a stipulation for the sale of inventory and deposit of proceeds was executed by the commission, Grand Forks Bean, 8 growers, and Bremer Bank. The beans were sold and the proceeds deposited. And I don't have the number of exactly what the proceeds were, but as of September 1st, with interest accumulated, that trust fund is $767,861.78. On March 25th, District Court executed the order appointing the commission as trustee. And between April 23rd and May 26th, 11 claims were filed with District Court. 9 claims by individual growers, a claim by Bremer Bank, and a contract claim by Pheasant and Cooperative Association. The commission recommends that all the grower claims be considered non-credit sale contracts. The valid claim amounts total $627,073.04. The commission recommends that the court determine the bank does not have a valid claim under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 6002 or Chapter 6004. The commission recommends the court determine Pheasant and Cooperative Association does not have a valid claim under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 6002 or 6004. On September 10th, Bremer Bank filed in district court a motion to intervene. On November 19th, there's a hearing scheduled on Bremer Bank's motion to intervene. And on March 14th through the 16th of 2016, is when the hearing is scheduled on our report and recommendation.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Commissioner Culk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two motions today, and they're Basin Electric motions, so it must be Basin Electric Day today. So, and before I get into my motions, I wanted to say hello to Sarah, Daryl's daughter. Thank you for coming to our hearing today. Are you a groupie from your father today, or did you?
Oh, of course.
Or did you come out for the Bison UND?
Well,
right.
I mean, obviously, I came out for the Bison.
You graduated from what university?
I graduated from the
You'll have to come back, Sarah.
I gotta come back, yes. Yeah.
You're an alumni of one of the two, correct?
I am. I'm a Bison.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Thought you were smarter than that, Sarah.
Hi.
Thanks for coming, Sarah. You should text my daughter. She couldn't find the 12th floor of the Capitol. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the supplemental order issuing first amended corridor certificate number 134 and first amended route permit number 145 in Basin Electric Power Cooperative's 345-230 KV transmission line, Williams County siting application case number PU11-692.
Second.
Thank you. In May of 2012, the commission issues corridor certificate 134 and route permit 145 to Basin Electric, authorizing construction of approximately 2 miles of 230 KV and approximately 1.6 miles of 340 KV transmission line and associated facilities in Williams County. In June of this year, Basin filed an amendment requesting minor corridor and route modifications to facilitate connection of the project into the Western Area Power Administrative Williston Substation. So the commission issued a notice opportunity for hearing, which provided until August of this year. No one has requested a hearing. Quite honestly, the routes just deviate out of the corridor just a smidgen, but yet it still was out so they could tie into the sub. We did hear back from the State Historical Society and all other parties that were involved that they have no concerns. So this certainly is an appropriate amendment, and I look forward to them completing all of this because, as we've talked about many times, that power grid in the Northwest, we need to keep growing it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2, I requested that we withdraw that and move that to discussion. In case there's any questions that may come up, I'm happy to answer it later on. But the gist of it is that we had the hearing, we had the work session on it, and I have some concerns, significant concerns about some of the eagle nests in that area. And I've talked to my colleagues a little bit about it, but at this point I'm going to talk to them some more about actually going back and having a hearing just on a specific issue of bald eagles in that area. There's just a lot of information that's out there, and I want to make sure we have a good, tight record because there's different laws in place for eagles like we dealt with back in Whooping Cranes back in the day. So I'll move that to discussion, but that's the cue up of it. And item BK3. I move the commission adopt the supplemental order issuing first amended certificate of corridor compatibility number 167 and first amended route permit number 179 in Basin Electric Power Cooperative's North Kilder Loop Phase 1 345 KV transmission siting application case number PU14-813.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In this, similar to the other case, in April of this year, the commission issued a corridor certificate and route permit to construct approximately 28 miles of 345 KV line and facilities in McKenzie County. In July of this year, Basin filed an amendment requesting minor corridor and route modifications in four different areas that roughly would move about 4 miles of the line outside the corridor. And this is done to request landowner concerns as well as to reduce natural resource impacts in McKenzie County. In August of this year, the commission found the amendment complete and provided until September 23rd for anyone requesting a hearing to do so. We received no requests. And by making this slight adjustment, a landowner is happier with the route, and also we've minimized the impacts to wetlands and woodland areas. So it's certainly a good adjustment, and things always look a little bit different when you get out there in the field. So we do appreciate Basin coming back to submit those amendments so we can have even a better route along the way. So this certainly is an order, and I urge my colleagues to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
All right. All right, we'll just peek ahead here. We mentioned earlier we're partaking in the Lignite Energy Council's annual meeting down at the Ramcota, I believe, the next couple of days. A lot of good discussion occurring on that, a lot of good breakout sessions, and a lot of talk about the future of coal as a fuel source for electric generation. That'll be one of the topics of discussion relating to the 111D rules, so that and many other issues that involve us. So we'll be heading down there for participation in those meetings. the next couple of days. Next week we have a hearing scheduled that will be taken care of by an administrative law judge out in Alexander for a short conversion line. And we have a formal hearing on next Thursday in Tioga on the Lindahl Wind Farm project. That'll be interesting to see the convergence of all of our energy resources in one community. And that'll be, I look forward to that discussion and learning more about the plans for that project out there. And then we have a formal hearing, a little bit of a break in our hearing schedule, actually, for a couple weeks out. I guess only a 1 week out to NSP, ADP hearing on a Mankato Energy Center application. And another pipeline project later on in October. So that kind of provides a peek ahead. And with that, I will open it up for any questions.
Bridger pipeline. Can you talk a little bit more about what safety assurances you guys received from them in light of, I don't know, concerns raised about their record with the Yellowstone spill and some other incidents?
Yep, absolutely. We had a pretty lengthy discussion with them on their lessons learned from that spill, and really kind of the status of the recovery from that spill, and they, you know, will be providing the SCADA system. We talked a lot about their construction, the commitment to X-ray 100% of the welds. And they talked about, you know, the shutdown, the control center, 24/7 control center, how many people will be monitoring that. There'll be two folks dedicated to this system and monitoring that. That system takes headquartered in Wyoming, and compared to a lot of the systems from companies that we're hearing about in recent hearings, this system is smaller, and so they'll have more people dedicated to the monitoring of that system than what I've been seeing in some of the other applications of recently. We talked extensively about their crossing of the Hart River and the boring of that. They provided schematics of that crossing. It's an intermittent stream where they're crossing that. So they'll be boring that 30 feet below the bottom of the stream. Train of thought. The leak detection that they'll be having on this system is very similar. Oh, and I just remembered, we asked them to provide a leak history for the last 10 years, which they did provide to us as a late filed exhibit. So we examined exactly what's gone on with their system in North Dakota and Montana and throughout, and analyzed that. So, you know, it was a really unfortunate incident. It was an old line built in 1955. And it wasn't bored through the river at that time, and so there was a number of factors that contributed to that spill, and the company has worked very hard to recover everything, and really there was 30,000 gallons, I believe, that could have potentially spilled, and they recovered 20,000 just from their shutdown process and their fairly speedy response. And so, we had a really thorough discussion about how they plan to operate this and monitor it and the latest and greatest technology they'll be using, you know, the newest pipe materials and monitoring systems. And I felt comfortable that the company had looked at and examined and gained and walked away with some good lessons learned on that spill, and we'll be incorporating that in this line and all future operations.
I think Chairman Fedorchak already pointed it out, but to reiterate, I think the biggest difference was when you horizontal drill 30 feet below the riverbed. I mean, that's the biggest difference to me. Mm-hmm. You're not open trenching where the soil's going to erode quicker. I mean, now they're not quite into the bedrock, but they're pretty close.
Just peeking at my notes here, too, the monitoring of that Yellowstone, the line underneath the Yellowstone, they said, you know, our monitoring system worked. It detected a leak of 1% of the flow. and within 15 minutes and shut the system down. So they felt that, you know, while it ended up releasing water or releasing product and causing a spill, they felt that it did reassure them that their systems were working and that they can, you know, rely on them. Anything else? Julie, do you remember? Yeah. I guess they want to get it under construction yet this year. I can't remember. I had to peek in the up. I'll look here while the other questions are going and find out when they hope to have it operational, Mike.
What was the existing capacity?
85,000 was their existing, and up to 125,000 with the expansion here. No, total.
That'd be total.
Yeah. Additional 40,000.
Sorry.
Anything else? Nick, for you?
He basically asked the same thing.
All right.
Together. Me too in sync.
All right. We will take a 5-minute break to sign things and come back for the admin portion of the meeting.